What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
You need like an 808. At least, like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm disappointed. He needs something.
It was tough because there probably is a Creed theme. There probably is a theme that he has that, like, if you go back and look at either just this most recent one or the first two, there's a theme that plays throughout that, like, is specifically for Adonis, but
it's literally unrecognizable.
It's unrecognizable because, you know, because in his victorious moment, I think in both two first one and the second one, they just played the Rocky theme, right?
With like some drums attached to it, right?
Huh?
I don't even remember. I know he has some drums on one of them.
I thought they did.
You mean like his entrance music? Is that what you mean? Do you mean entrance music or do you mean?
Or just a theme.
How come they took it away? Why didn't they use the Rocky? Because he's dead.
No, so he's not dead. So Stallone doesn't own the rights. Like some old white dude ripped him off like years ago. So he's been trying to get it back for like decades. And the guy won't give it back. So Stallone was like, I don't want to be in the movie. And he doesn't want to be in the movie as long as like this guy's a part of it. So, you know, he's like, I would do Rocky IV. I just don't want to do it with this dude.
Yeah. You mean Creed IV? Yeah. Creed IV. He wants to do Creed
Rocky IV. Rocky IV is already made.
Sorry. Yeah. Creed IV. Yeah, Bray. I know Rocky IV. I mistakenly said the wrong franchise.
This also was kind of Rocky IV, right? Like this one?
The one with Club Elaine? Which one is the one with Mr. T?
I thought that was the third one.
But isn't Rocky IV the one when Creed dies? I thought that they were trying to do that with this. Like when my man came out, I know we're not talking about the movie yet, but when my man came out and it was like, you know, all Dame had was like nothing. He walked out by himself. He had like no, you know, there was like no presentation. But then my man came out and he had, you know, he had the mask and the smoke and everybody was coming out with the title, with the belt.
But who came out with the song last time that I checked? Was that?
That was Dame.
That was Dame. I was like,
That's the second fight. The first fight, he was just by himself, just like gully.
It was just him by himself. Yeah, there was like nothing going on. It was like people were booing him. It felt like they were doing Rocky IV, I think.
I wonder if he got to do another matchup, what his Creed 3 would be.
Okay.
Wait, what? If he had to do another matchup, what would his Creed 3 be?
Yeah, because the first time he, you know, is the first one, he didn't have anything. The second one, it was last time that I checked. But what's Creed 3?
What? What?
Yeah, what's it? You know what I mean?
No, no.
Fighter gets a Creed, and you know, he switched it up each time.
Melissa, disconnect this phone. Melissa, disconnect his mic. Melissa, disconnect his mic.
His professional.
Disconnect my headphones.
You know, he's one of
disconnect
one
my one headphones. No, you're not going
to
do this today.
I just wanted to know.
Do it over. What? No, 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 no. That was terrible.
Wouldn't it be? What if he came out? What if he came out to Superman by Creed 3?
Superman by Creed 3.
Oh, sorry, I messed that up. I meant Kryptonite. Damn it, I said the wrong
song. I was going to say, and then also, is that Creed? Did Creed do, they didn't do Kryptonite. That's Three Doors Down, right? Just for anyone who has any idea what we're talking about.
I have no
very
idea.
Specific
and I hate
era of music. Three Doors Down is Kryptonite.
What did hold on, we got to go back. What did Creed say?
No. No, no, we're done.
Oh my God. What if he came out with Arms Wide Open by Creed 3? Oh man, I really bungled that one. Oh boy. Are we leaving all of that?
You really bungled that?
Are we leaving all of that in? Anyway, we should start our own Creed 3. Start the show.
Jonathan Braylock.
James III.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Black actors. All right, all right, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
He's telling you who he is, right? Believe him.
That was a good line. That was a really good line.
Yeah, it's the only one that I could remember, like, the full line intact. Everything else I could remember pieces.
Yeah, that was a good line. You know, pretty good. Pretty good, my friend. Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
I was trying to think of other lines.
James got a big...
Wow.
First of all,
people don't know who we are, okay?
James had a beer appear out of nowhere. Talk about some. I like this movie. That's what
I'm doing. Let's get into it.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. If you've been listening, welcome back. We're here again. This is Creed 3. Listen, we're a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. There are three of us. We have three distinct voices. The voice that you're listening to right now, that sounds like the voice of someone who grew up
like a snitch. Really like a snitch.
He had to
this
fight
the voice
because
of the
there
nigga
will be people
away.
Who are hating
this
him,
is the voice of the
hating
one
on
that
him
ran.
All the time.
This
but
the
you
voice
know
they
what?
Never check
he
in.
Came back. He
this
got
the voice
back
that
up.
Was like,
he never
I don't even remember
fighting.
You no more.
And then he got
this
the
voice
title
that was like,
and he never let it go. He retired a champ. That is the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
Hey, yo, who's that old black man? Why did you morph into, I'll never let it go? Like, what the fuck? Who did you
become? He slipped into Muhammad Ali for a second. Yeah. For a second.
I'll never let it go. Oh, man. Wow, this voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James III.
They already heard you when you were drinking the beer. They know what your voice
is.
I remember another line.
You out there boxing. I need you out there fighting. These are all lines.
Why do you
all just all Will Harris? You only like Will Harris.
Why?
He was spitting the platitudes though. He had all the you know, everybody else, I don't know, it was more convoluted.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact lines. It's something like sometimes punching's the only answer. I don't know, something like that.
It didn't matter what the lines were. You know, we all felt the actions. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need this therapy talk. You know, something like that. I don't know.
Truly, yeah, truly.
Yeah, he didn't need that. He needed action.
As you have no doubt figured out, we are reviewing Creed 3, the third film of the Creed series that kind of was spun off from Rocky, which had six movies, because we're going to count.
Oh, because Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
Right, and Creed is considered Rocky 7 in some camps, depending on who you're talking to.
Oh.
Depending on who you're talking to. Not everybody says that, but some people say this is that Creed is Rocky 7, and this would have been, you know, Rocky 10, but it's or 9, but...
This film was directed by Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, directorial debut, baby.
his directorial debut. It also stars Michael B. Jordan. It also stars Tessa Thompson, and Jonathan Majors is the new main opponent. Obviously, Wood Harris is back. Felicia Rashad is back.
The biggest opening for a sports movie ever.
Whoa, really? Adjusted for inflation or nah?
Oh, I don't know. They just been posting as the biggest opening for a sports movie ever.
Interesting. It's got $58 million opening weekend. It's a lot of money.
Over 100 mil worldwide. You know what I'm saying? 58 in the States, 43 overseas. And they say black people can't open movies overseas. They say black people can't open movies. They say they can't do it. We had two black dudes. Two black dudes.
This is arguably the blackest Creed movie there ever was.
Oh, this might be one of the blackest boxing movies ever.
They didn't have to share time with Stallone.
Yeah, that's real. This joint black as hell, boy.
Yeah, not adjusted for inflation, but wow, it is. It's the top opening ever for a sports film domestically.
As it should be.
Wow.
I'm going to see it again.
It does make sense to me. I can't even think of a, you know, like maybe Space Jam Legacy had a shot.
Nah, so, they didn't.
I'm just trying to think of what could have been.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right, but nah.
No, that is true. I guess I'm surprised, like 58 million, that's pretty high. I mean, it's clearly the highest grossing opening weekend for any of the Creed or Rocky films. That in and of itself is a surprising fact.
Yeah, like including Rocky Balboa. Or no, what did Rocky, didn't both of the last two Rockies deal with like him being old? They're like, ah, he's old. And then they were like, we're going to do one more. Ah, he's really old now, you know?
Second one, he was retired, but still kind of young. And he was trying to train that little blonde dude. And the little blonde dude was like, fuck you, Rocky. So he just fought Rocky in the alley and Rocky beat his ass in like an alley. He beat the hell out of that boy. Woo, let's talk about Creed 3. Creed 3. Bro, I was in the theater hype.
I mean, honestly,
dog.
I'm ready.
Hype.
Yeah, I'm ready. Afterwards, there was a bunch of little boys shadow boxing each other. There was also
a couple fights that broke out. Thank you, Instagram, for letting me see those fights. Cinema inspires real life. That's for sure.
This movie has an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Should be higher.
A 96% 87? Audience score.
Oh, 96. Okay, I'm about to say audience.
Hey, yo, critics ain't, I'm going to say right now.
Y'all ain't 87 shit. 87 is pretty high.
87?
Should be higher.
Y'all ain't shit.
Should be higher. Should be 92 at least.
For the third
92.
Movie.
92, Bray.
Really?
92 at least.
I'm not talking about the third movie in any given franchise. I'm talking about this movie. It deserves more than 87.
I'm going to say something before we start right now. Okay.
Well, it's initial thoughts, so go ahead.
If we're looking at this as a trilogy, Bray, okay, James, this might be the best third movie, pound for pound, out of majority. This is a better third film.
Oh, right.
It's a better third film than the Dark Knight series. It's a better third film than Star Wars, both fucking factions, or however we store, what is it, episodes?
No.
All right.
I love Return of the Jedi. I'm not
Return of the Jedi
about...
is great. That opening sequence of Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi is not better. Return of the Jedi is not better than Revenge of the Sith. Okay. The third movie needs to be better than the second. You gotta build. You gotta build, baby.
Wait, okay, wait. So
but
wait,
this is
you're
more
judging
of a commentary
by...
on how bad Creed 2 is.
Got it.
It is a solid, this may be, and I'm talking about it like third film. If I'm looking at a trilogy, it does what a trilogy is supposed to do, build and actually capitalize off of everything that came before and make an even better film in conclusion. You know what I mean? Like, it's better to me, and I love Back to the Future. I think this is better than the third Back to the Future film. You know what I'm saying?
Well, of course.
Well, some people love terrible. Back to the Future 3, though. Some people love Back to the Future 3. I don't. But some people, but my wife in particular loves Back to the Future 3.
But, okay, like, she loved it when she was a kid, but...
But still loves it now.
All right, yep. I think we're all shocked. We're all shocked, okay. But, you know, I'm just saying, I just think it's fantastic.
I would say Return of the King is probably
I mean,
the
that's
best.
The, yeah, that's the golden standard.
Yeah, I mean, come on, the ring is mine. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the golden standard. Mine. Yeah. I wasn't messing with that one. I left that off on purpose, Bray. You
I hear you,
do that.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. Creed 3. Let's do initial thoughts for Creed 3 then. I mean, James already started.
I mean, I guess I'll go first. I'll be quick. It's great. I really had a great time. I thought Michael B. did a fantastic job. I thought this movie was well written. I thought the acting was great. I thought Michael B. stepped up. He was like, because listen, let me just say, we've talked about Michael B. before. He like had some serious scenes in this and had to grapple with a lot of heavy emotional inner life and stuff. And I think he really brought it. Something I was trying to pay close attention to was like, how often would he show himself having to be like snot faced and crying and stuff? And he balanced it out. Like it wasn't like never showing it. And it wasn't like only showing it. It was like, he would share those scenes with whoever he was with while also revealing that side of himself in a really nice way. I really enjoyed the themes of this movie. I have like three or maybe four nitpicky notes with stuff that we'll talk about as we get into it, but really enjoyable. And like, and going into this movie, I was like, there is no way Michael B. Jordan's little ass is going to beat Jonathan Majors. And I think that the way that they did this final scene, they did a great job of making it not seem like it was impossible. And I also think this is one of the least corny instances of them being perfectly evenly matched when they punch each other at the same time. Like, usually when stuff like that happens, it's really corny and like lame. I think that the way that this happened and in the sort of like bending of space and time that they do in that whole sequence, it worked really well. I like really liked it. It was like, it made me want to clap a little bit. I didn't, but it made me want to. All right, that's all I'm going to say right now. We'll talk about it more in depth.
It's beautiful.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Nice. Nice.
Now, listen, guys. You know about BetterHelp because we've talked about it here on the show many times. But if you're new and you're like, what is BetterHelp? How's your social battery right now? Let's start with that question. Because I don't know about you, sometimes social gatherings, you know, they start picking up in the spring and the summertime, and it's a lot. It could be a lot to just have to socialize with people because, you know, we went through a pandemic. You know what I mean? We were indoors for a long time.
Yeah.
Mine is draining. I have trouble being around. I already had trouble being around people, but now, especially post-pandemic, I'm... Ooh, your boy is struggling.
You know, I found a black male therapist from BetterHelp, actually.
Wow.
I truly, truly enjoy him because, look, it's been a rough year. Not a rough 2024, but a full year that's only gotten, like, more stressful. So I'm like, it has been a lifesaver to actually have a person who seems helpful with actionable things. Also, because you don't want to be, especially in a social setting, always complaining or like always downer in the corner. So I just avoid it for the most part.
Yeah. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I'm in therapy as well. Like, it is great for me and just like talking through issues that you can't always talk about with your friends. With BetterHelp, it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry.
there's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
This movie, I'ma see again. I saw this movie with like 8 folk, all people of color. And I am embarrassed to say I was one of the black people yelling in the movies, bro. I was in it. I was in it the whole time. I was in that joint. Yeah, I'm talking about like, I am very excited when I see Keke Palmer on screen. But watching this movie is seeing Jonathan Majors move the way he did. Like, at what, like, I mean, the unbothered face he was making. So like, instead of doing like the tough boxer face, he just looked unbothered the whole time. And like, and he always would just like fix his waistband. And I'm like, yo, you remind me, and I mean this in the best way possible. He just reminds me of like niggas I grew up with. And I mean that in that exact way. Like, he reminds me of like the uncles, like the old dudes who used to be like just walking and chilling and giving you advice you didn't need. Like, his whole energy was like that the entire time. And then thinking about Michael B., and Bray, I know you'll probably speak to it, but like, I know anime like a little bit, but even watching some of these fights, I'm like, oh, I can clearly see like that knockout punch that James just referenced. I'm like, oh, I've seen this in Dragon Ball Z when, you know, we're like Goku and Vegeta. Like, to me, this was Goku and Vegeta. Like, I'm just watching the two of them fight. And the thing is, even how the movie ends, it felt very Dragon Ball Z, where it's like, yeah, man, I was very pissed at you, bruh. And they just like walked it off and like kind of, you know what I mean? It just felt very, very, very Dragon Ball Z. And then even, you know, even the quick cuts and the low angles, and then even, you know, some of the slow motion punches where you could kind of see the body reverberate and then like the sweat come off, felt very, I can't think of that anime. I just know he wears like orange and blue and has a little fucking headband, the silver headband.
Naruto.
Like, it felt very Naruto. And I was like, oh man, this is great. And honestly, what is interesting, another thing is, like, I know people often come at Michael B for his acting, and I'm like, yo, for him to have to juggle both, I think he definitely stepped it up in ways that, like,
wait, what?
Yeah, man, I feel like people
who
be like,
Michael B for?
I feel like people be like, oh, he picks roles. I only say that because I got into a discussion before this movie about, to me, Michael B's legacy is so important because I am old enough where like people didn't give a fuck about diversity when I first started acting. So when I would take those like agent meetings, they'd be like, who you want to be like? If I ever said Will Smith or Denzel, they're like, well, they're old. Like, who do you want to be like? And I'm like, well, there's nobody to reference. Like, there was no dude to reference at the time. Like, I would say like Shia LaBeouf, and they're like, well, he's white. I'm like, well, I'm fucking supposed to say. But like, because of Michael B, you have these moments of, you know, a Fruitvale Station, you have Creed 1, and then you have us now at Creed 3 with the biggest opening for a sports movie, and to have it be two black dudes, I'm like, that is that's insane. You know, because the thing is, like, outside of Will Smith, a lot of black people don't open movies like that. Like, to be truthfully honest, and like, for them to do it, and for the film to stay predominantly with a black cast for the most part, yeah, I mean, yeah, damn near everybody in this movie was black. I don't know. I just think his legacy is going to be, I mean, he earned his star on the Walk of Fame, like, straight up. Like, I just think he did. Jonathan Majors' speech about him is like everything. Is like, yeah, we needed this dude. So yeah, I'm a fan. I'm gonna watch it again, dead ass.
Here he go, James. Here he go, James. Here he go.
What? I'm not doing anything.
James, here he go.
I liked it. I think I really
he was
liked
over here
it
being like 87%. That's good.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. Look at him nodding.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a B plus.
Yeah.
No. It's an A. It gets an A.
This movie is definitely a B plus. It's. Here's the thing. Here's my thing. I think Jonathan Majors carries this movie. I love Michael B. Jordan. That's not a slight on Michael B.
Yes, it
Jordan.
Is. Right. Yes.
No, it's really not.
A little bit. Carries the movie?
It's not.
You say yes. That like when you say someone carries a movie, that implies that the weight of the entire movie is on their backs about a movie that is starring and directed by another person.
Here's the thing. It's like Heath Ledger carried The Dark Knight, but that doesn't mean that Christian Bale wasn't, even though Gerard doesn't like him, that doesn't mean Christian Bale wasn't great in it or other people weren't good in it.
Not memorable. Not memorable. That's what it means, Bray. That's what it means.
No,
not memorable.
He does care.
Well, okay. Because
Heath Ledger does carry the Dark Knight in a way.
Yeah, he does.
Where
but
you're like, thank God he's in this, because without him, I wouldn't be.
That's what he's saying, James. That's what Bray is saying about Creed.
Well, that is yes, that is what I am saying. I think if you replace Jonathan Majors with the dude that Jonathan Majors fights in the beginning of the movie, and that was Creed's main opponent in this film, nobody would care. We would not care about this movie.
But that's different, though. That's, you know, like, that's a character replacement.
No, I'm saying give him the exact. No, I'm tell. I'm saying
acting wise,
give him the exact same character, but just put that actor in it. Put any other actor in it.
Oh, I see. Just, I mean, listen.
Think about the actors that were in the first Creed and the second Creed, who the opponents were. Think about the caliber of those. And again, it's not, this has nothing to do with, it's not a slight against them. It's a praise of, it's just the magnetism of Jonathan Majors is so high that he carries a weight. I think there's a reason that this is the highest grossing Creed. And I, Michael B. Jordan was in the other two as well, you know, but you know, it's like Fast Five. It's like when you plug in somebody who's just like in their prime, like it's just like at the peak of their abilities, you know, and you plug them into a franchise that people already like. It's a power up, and I think he gave that to this. I liked some of the things they were trying to explore with the script. I feel like it wasn't done as, I don't know. I feel like they could have dug deeper than they did. And then I also feel like the mechanics of some of the plot points were a little clunky. Like it was just like a little bit like, okay, like I don't care, because it's like, whatever. We came here to see these two dudes fight. However you get there, you know, just so be it. It was, you really had to stretch your belief in like how this would have materialized. Anyway, that said, it was still a really fun movie. The fights were awesome. What a great opponent. I mean, it's the best opponent he's faced. So it's like, in that sense, it's the most exciting of the Creed movies. Even though the second movie, emotionally, the story was way heavier. You know, I feel like it's just in terms of like the legacy.
That's the dude who killed his dad kind of situation.
Yeah, it's like the son of the dude who kills his dad. Yeah. And then the first movie, I think, had like the character of Adonis Creed being a golden child who actually had a more troubled past than people realize, but like, and then like had something to prove because people felt like he got things handed to him, like all that stuff. Like, that's really interesting. This is a movie about a dude who like is retired and like try and like, but then like his past comes back to haunt him. Yeah, there were a lot of very bold directing choices in this film that I'm interested to talk about with you guys. And they stood out, not necessarily to me in a good way, but like in a way that was like, I was like, all right, you're trying something, and I respect that. So yeah, but a B+ is a very good grade that most people, if they got that on their test, would be like, yes, you know.
Nah,
so
I don't, you go to, a, you live in a black household, they're gonna be like, why don't you get an A?
I think he deserves at the very least an A- for this.
Yeah, okay. I think B+. I think 87 is great. It's like the lowest of the B+, you know.
Yeah, but if you're on the curve, you're grading on the curve, B right down the middle.
That's a B.
Yeah, that's B right down the middle.
That's a B.
Which,
what do you mean, hang on a curve?
Yeah, my school did a curve.
It's like 87, 88, and 89. 87, 88, 89. That's a B+. It's the lowest number of the B+. I think that's exactly right. I think that's exactly right.
Remember the voices. And remember when Bray was doing his intro, I told you who he was going to be. I told you who he's going to be. Uh-huh. Let's get into this shit, man. Look, Bray, I love it. I don't know why, but I am so enthralled by seeing blackness like on the big screen in a way that is like epic. And again, you know, I think Nope had its flaws, but I will always bring up Keke Palmer, and just seeing these two motherfuckers on the screen, boy, like starting with that flashback, I do think Michael B did a good job. I thought he picked a wonderful color palette. I thought, like, you know, the intro was fine, you know, figuring out their backstory. It's funny because I think, how old are they in real life? Because I wonder if actually Michael B's older than...
I think that I think the character, I think his character is supposed to be like 35, and then the other dude is probably like 38 or 37.
What's funny is Michael B is my age, but Jonathan Majors is like 5 years younger than us. And Jonathan Majors, yeah, Jonathan Majors is 30. Oh no, he's 30. He's 33. Just turned 33. So 33. 30. But Michael B's still older. So I'm like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, but he plays younger in the movie. That is funny that he plays younger in the film.
I like this flashback. You know, we got to see them hustling. You got to see like Donnie wasn't super clean. You know, wasn't just like the little golden boy. Even though in the first Creed, we did see him in a detention center fighting, so I guess I almost forgot that he had that backstory until this movie.
No, I was already getting mad in this opening sequence, having not really remembered anything from the trailer, so if any of this was even in the trailer. But the whole time when we get that Dame is like about to be the next big fighter, I was just looking at little Creed like, you mean to tell me... You mean to tell me we've gone through two movies of your ass being bigger and better as a boxer and you ain't checked on this dude once? It was already building up in me how frustrating it was. I was like, you took this dude's life, even though I'm obviously like, you know, he was following his path, you know, and there's things about this path.
I'm on Diamond Dame side the whole time. Whole movie, I'm on Diamond. Literally at one point, like, you heard people in the theater go, no, it is his fault. Like, you heard people openly be like, no, it's his fault. He ain't check on him. It's his. Like, it was a wild dog. It was like,
he was trying to put it on his mom. This is later. He was trying to put, oh, I ain't get the letters.
No, dog. And then Tessa Thompson was talking to him. They were like, no, don't you, no, it's his fault. They were like, no, he should have checked in on that dude. Like, it's not your fault he had the gun. No, it's not your fault he had the gun. But you started fighting and you was getting jumped. Like, he told you to go in there and get some fucking snacks. Like, he said, go get some fucking snacks. He gave you a bunch of money. He just won a fucking belt. And like, he got to come out here and defend your punk ass.
Definitely partly his fault. Yeah.
Bruh.
Not fully. No, but it's definitely.
It's certainly not Donnie's fault that he had a gun or even pulled the gun. Right? That's not his fault. But that dude did basically save your little ass. So
he was getting jumped by grown men.
They were like, you owe him nothing. No, you owe him something.
He does. He owes him something.
You definitely owe him something. Something.
Yeah. You definitely owe him something.
That flashback was cool, man. I like the way that was shot.
I liked it. I don't know if I loved how they dragged it out, because it was already pretty apparent what had happened, but they like delayed showing the full flashback, and then like we kept seeing like snippets of it, and then we finally like saw the full. And like when they kept delaying it, I was like, did he shoot somebody? I kept in my mind, I was like, it must have been even worse than I'm thinking, but it wasn't. It was exactly what I thought initially. And so I was like, oh, this, I don't know why you delayed it so much, you know. Anyway.
You know, I get that. I mean, it definitely was a choice.
You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah, okay. I get that.
Yeah.
But then what happens when we cut to the present day? Like, is it just, it's Creed's last fight?
He's in his last fight. And it's him versus the dude from the first movie.
Yeah, he lost to him. And that dude went to jail.
This was cool. I was like, if he never gets in the ring again, if this is all I see is him beat this dude, I was like, I'll be fine.
Bray, I got to know how you feel about this. This is the most. This is when the anime shit started for me. And I was like trying to figure out how I felt about it. Yeah, because all of a sudden Creed got superpowers and he's doing like the fucking Goku, like the, I can see, I can telegraph. Yeah. Like, he got hit with that same hit so many times. You loved it, Chase?
I loved it. I was like, do this. I'm mad that they didn't do it enough. They did it in this scene, and then we see it. We maybe see it a little bit in the last scene, but it's not done the same way. It's not done nearly as, like, it was like specific. It was very specific in this fight. Like, he's like looking, he sees his way in, you know, he scopes it out, and then he realizes, okay, and then he does it. In the last fight, it's not as calculated, you know.
And it's something that Jonathan Majors was doing and had done in the when we saw him as a kid. And it was like, we're supposed to, I think, get that he learned that from him, you know, like kind of seeking out an opponent's weakness and then being like, checkmate. Because I think he literally says checkmate. And that's what Diamond Dame said before he won his fight.
Because he told Diamond Dame, he was like, hey, man, he does this move. And then once you like block it, like it's like one, oh, two, with three, the right. Boom.
Yeah.
And with the right. And so he kind of like, yeah, they both do it. But when he did this movie, he was eating so many hits to telegraph this. And I was like, bro, there's no way. And like, if you've been crafting this skill since you were a kid, there's no way it should take like 8 consecutive like hits in a row to like figure out what's happening, bro. It's like 1, 2, Matt. 1, 2, Matt. Like so much of the fucking announcers go, he keep getting hit with the same move over and over again.
Same combo.
I was like, good God, man.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
I do like this. I do like, for the most part, Creed, to me, is a better boxer than Rocky, because basically in every movie besides that last one, Rocky is always about to lose and loses for most of the fight. Where if you look at like Creed, to be truthfully honest, when you get that rematch with Drago in the second film, he beats him the entire, like he demolishes that dude that entire fight, you know? And then even in this one, he's smiling, so it's like, you think he's losing, but he quickly gets done with him. And then even, you know, spoiler alert, when we get to Dame, I mean, is, you know, he does the same thing.
Also winning by knockouts, which is insane.
I thought it was cool the way they did the fight with Dame, because like in thinking how he, and in terms of him being a better fighter, like even just in thinking of the way that he received the hits in the first movie, like by the end of the first movie, his face is all mangled and messed up. And like, you think that Dame is about to destroy him, but he only has like, you know, he only has a few bruises. He only has a few, you know, like cuts. It's like, not like he's just a better fighter now at this point. So like, he doesn't take as bad a beating in this final fight, even though it seems like he might.
I got one complaint, and it's about this next scene. We get the next scene. Sorry, scene right after this. But we get the next scene. Like, it's after the fight. He's in his mansion. We get an introduction to his daughter, who is so wonderful. And, like, I love the sign language. I love that, like, I love this choice in general. And it wasn't a big deal. I love that. But then when we get down to, like, the recording studio, and he's with, you know, his wife, and he's supposed to be out of shape, okay? Like, the whole thing is, he hasn't boxed in a minute, and like, you can't do that flash forward. And he talks about like, oh, you want to see this. And the reason I bring it up is because at certain points in this movie, like Dame, Tessa Thompson, all comment on how he hasn't been in the gym for a little bit. So much so that when we see him train, he's like all haggard and like starting from the ground up. And at one point, Michael B. lifts up his shirt, and I feel like they purposely don't show him have abs because I think he's supposed to like not be ripped. And I'm like, I'm looking at this nigga's arms. Okay. And I'm like, hey, yo, bro, like, don't look, man, you ain't got to do this. Okay. You ain't got to, like, you ain't got to be, when you're in retirement, you can still be shredded, man. Like, don't pretend like you're not looking like Michael Beathwaite this whole goddamn movie, bro. Like, don't do that to me. You know what I'm saying? Don't. I was in the movie theater with a bunch of women. Okay. A bunch of women. The moment he went downstairs and started lifting up his shirt, you heard the screams start happening. And then when he pulled it down, all you heard was, mm-hmm, ooh, like the amount, the amount of audience interaction these two men had was just like insane. I don't even know what that must feel like. It was so much.
Listen, I liked that they did this because I feel like you have, even if he is a muscular dude, you like have to, like highlight that he's not in the shape that he was before. Like you have to do something in order to like, it helps with the, like the story of it, the story of like, oh, he has to go back and he has to, you know, do a training montage again. And this one in particular, like him versus Jonathan Majors training, it was like, it was another instance of them highlighting like that Majors was about to demolish him. Like it was another instance of that. For me, I liked it. I was like, thank you.
I get that. I mean, we get that introduction to John like pretty quickly after this when he's just on the car. Like we meet the reigning champion and like him getting ready for his fight with Drago or whatever.
Also, that reigning champion who they're like is their guy. He looks so small compared to everybody else.
Is he a real boxer, though?
Huh. Boxers can be small.
Okay, but when he and the Drago dude like are matched up together, I was like, these two are not in the same weight class. I don't believe this. One looks like a heavyweight boxer, and the other one looks like a lightweight boxer. Anyway.
No, you're right. But I think that dude is a real boxer, though.
I'm sure.
They would never be.
I'm trying to find out what weight class he's in.
They would never be boxing each other.
That, they just don't look like they're in their same weight class. Jose Benavidez? He must be a real boxer because this is his only acting thing. Yeah, he is. He's a professional boxer.
That's true. I didn't notice it until he was in the ring with Majors.
He's currently fighting at welterweight. See, he's not a heavyweight.
I didn't notice it until he was in the ring with Majors, how small he was. Before that, I was like, yeah, this guy.
Like, it's funny. I thought he was small, but I never thought he was the heavyweight until we got that info at that party. I never thought he was the heavyweight dude. But I'd say this, when Majors is on that bus, I mean, they do the classic, like, we're not going to show his face to build up, like, that kind of, like, big bad type situation. But I will say, what's the best way to put this? I don't think the writing was particularly like great in this movie, but I think because they had really good performers, especially like in Jonathan Majors, I think Jonathan Majors elevated the shortcomings of the characterization of Dame. Like I think Michael B did a good job directing it, but like as far as like the monologues and information we got from Dame, it wasn't like, I feel like they weren't doing a lot to like superhumanize him. I just think like, the look in the eyes of Jonathan Majors did so much work for that character. It was like he just, like, when he showed up, it was like that conversation was super awkward. When we knew something really bad happened, it was super tense. I didn't realize they hadn't spoken in so long. But when they go to that dinner, Bray, I don't know if you noticed, but he had a well-done steak. And he's putting the hot sauce on the well-done steak. It was something about, like, just his mannerisms as a dude who, like, was lost. And I really like that villain had some time. I can't even call him a villain because I really do think Creed is the bad guy in this movie. If we had to pick one, I think they were both kids, but you know.
He is. This is just making me think of two notes that I had. One is like, how do we never see what's in my man's notebook? We never gonna see what's in his notebook? They like sort of set it up twice.
I thought we did a little bit. Wasn't it just...
We did when he was at his apartment. You saw him writing like his, like, not revenge, but like he was writing the shit out.
Doesn't he write when he's watching his fights and stuff? Isn't like that's just him like taking the notes on everything? And
I know they had a close-up because I know they had a close-up of it when he was home and he was mad. Like, I just don't remember what was in it, but I definitely know they were
That's what I mean. It was like, so, it was, that's all it was. It wasn't like a, because they sort of do a thing where, like, when in that scene where he's, in this scene with the steak, when Michael B. notices the notebook, he's like, oh, what do you, you know, you got work? He's like, no, I got plans. And it's like, they like, they highlight it. They highlight it. It's like, you don't need to highlight this. Like, you don't need to highlight the notebook. It's like, why?
I thought it was like him taking notes about the fighters and like, you know, what their weaknesses are and stuff like that. But maybe that wasn't, maybe they didn't actually establish it. I just, that's, I don't know. That's how I took it.
But I mean, he, that is when he's taking notes, I'm sure, you know, and I'm sure it all goes back to that. But it's like, there's a few times where the notebook is like in focus outside of any of that, where it's like, well, what it, am I supposed to care about this? Like, is there something, is there a dark secret in the notebook? You know, that was one. That was one of the thoughts. I had one more, but I can't remember. We'll see when it comes back.
Yeah. Well, I also, when Michael B. Jordan, when Creed tries to offer him money, I was like, what are you doing, man? That's disrespect. I also felt disrespected. It was just like, I was like, oh, this is gross, bro.
Dude, he didn't know what to do, man. He didn't know what
to
do.
He didn't ask for nothing. He said, look, if you need something, I got you. It was like, oh, bro.
I got you. It was like, dude, don't ask him like that.
He didn't know what to do, man. He didn't know what to do.
Don't slide me money like I'm some charity case. We just sat down. Like, we just sat down to eat.
I know. But you know what, though? I think that was a good job to showing how disconnected they were. And also, like,
I agree. Yeah.
Like, I think again, it set it up. It was something so interesting because, yeah, like what Harris says later on, like, at every conversation, Dame lets Creed know exactly what he's about to do. Like, exactly what his goal is, exactly what the plan is. And it's just interesting seeing Creed dig himself in a hole, but I was like, I don't know how he could have got out of it. Like, the moment he showed up, I don't know how you get out of that. Because, like, it's not like he's going to stop showing up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I'm remembering, too, my other thought is that they could have actually leaned into how out of touch Creed is now. Like, how, and they could have, like, it was cool to see, like, he's literally living in a house that has a shrine to himself in the house. But, like, I don't know. There's a lot more, I think, to unpack there that they could have really, and the canning the money, I think, is an example of it. But they could have, like, really leaned into that more, because he really could have been the straight up villain of the movie a little bit more concretely.
I have a question. Why didn't he get a couple of professional fights before this title shot? Why couldn't he get him some professional fights?
Because I don't think he wanted him.
That
I think
is the part, like, that I didn't understand.
Yeah, he didn't want to.
I don't think he wanted him. I think he wanted...
But it was also like Michael B. Jordan never... It felt like Michael B. Jordan never even offered that as an option. Like, he was like, well, dude, you can't just go... You've never had a professional match. You can't just go right for a title shot. Like, it's not how this works, you know? But, like, I don't know. He never was like, okay, like, let's get you a match. Like, let's get you... That's what everyone has to do. Like, literally everyone has to have a few matches.
I think he was, like, flustered, man. I think it was one of the things, and not to give him credit, but I'm like, if somebody, like, man, look, there's some people I'm like, I think I would be flustered if they showed up at my doorstep. Look, I don't know what, I'd be like, I got you. And I just don't know what, because it's one of those things where.
I'm shocked he put him in to spar with their golden boy. Like, it was like, you know, he's going to break that dude's arm. Like, you put him in the ring with him? To spar?
Also, sorry, the fact that he was moving like that and was like, but also it's so interesting because at the end of the day, Bray, I think you're right, because, like, Dame took the job and was in the gym as a sparring partner for, we're assuming, some period of time. He didn't, like, push the limits. He was like, yo, I'm doing this so I can get the shot. Like, how do I do this? And you're right, Mike B didn't, or Creed didn't. And, like, it also was so tricky because not only did he not do it, but also it felt like Creed was not, I don't think he purposely was rubbing anything in his face, but, like, inviting him to the house and, like, showing him all the stuff. It's like, you got him in the room with the belt and, like, the big poster of yourself. And then at one point when they were drinking Hennessy, sponsored by Hennessy, by the way, clearly, when they were drinking Hennessy, I was like, can you even trust, like, do you know if this drink is going to cause this dude to go into a rage? Like, what is happening, man? It just felt like, it felt like he was poking a bear the whole movie.
You know, this is where it got a little clunky for me, because it's like, because they didn't have him doing any matches and he just kept being like, I want a title shot. And he's like, well, that's impossible. And he's like, this is what I want. And then we get, I don't know, I don't know if I'm skipping a lot, but we get the, you know, they're at the recording label party.
Can we have a moment of silence for Kehlani? You know what I mean? Just because, I mean, it's Kehlani. And like, I feel like she deserves a little bit of acknowledgement. Shout out to Kehlani if she's listening.
A moment of silence.
You know, yeah, man. I was like, yeah. Just shout out if you're listening, you know, if you're a fan of the pod,
Did someone die? I was like, what is he talking?
No, man. See, this is the thing. A moment of silence is showing just respect. Okay. It doesn't have to be something sad. It could be like, yo, this, you know, it's admiration. Okay, now we're good. Sorry. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Bray. Keep going.
All of a sudden, we hear people are fighting and some dude takes out like some like metal stick and then the police baton, metal baton, and then like beats Drago and breaks his arm. And I don't know about you guys, it was extremely obvious to me that Diamond Dame had hired that dude because it was also the most random attack. Like it was like, it was truly a Tanya Harding-esque level of like, well, you did this. They almost never reckon with the fact of like how absolutely random that attack was. And then they are immediately like, well, we don't have anyone to fight. And somehow Diamond Dame becomes the best option. And I don't fully understand how that became a thing or why that would have been a bigger payday than other established fighters. Nobody knows who this guy is, you know?
Yeah, but with the argument they made, it was enough for me that they were like, it's nobody's like when enough. Rocky was the, yeah, it's like they, you know.
But
they,
Rocky had fought professional matches, no? Was Rocky's first professional match for the heavyweight title?
He was like a punching bag, if that counts. Like he was like a punching bag. So like when he got the, wait, was it like Rocky? No, I don't remember.
I'm going to look it up now.
Rocky loves Emily. Oh, that's the wrong movie. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh, wait. I guess he said, yeah, it is like Rocky. It's like, however, he's in Creed. It's going to have a title bout in Philly. He's informed 5 weeks from the fight date that his scheduled opponent is unable to compete with all other potential replacements booked up. He spices things up by giving a local contender a chance to challenge him. And he chooses Rocky Balboa, who fights primarily in small gyms and works as a collector for a loan shark.
Oh, wow. All right. Well.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week. Quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/officehourslive.
Yeah, it was just enough. Even not remembering the specifics, it was enough for me that they were like, when Rocky did it, there was this and this, you know? And this is another one of those moments where it's like, but he's still clearly rooting for his champ. And they really could have just built this out more that he's like not in Dame's corner, you know, like that. I really feel like they could have leaned into how smarmy this is. Cause it's like, cause you would think Dame, not necessarily smarmy, but you would think that Dame would need somebody in his corner, you know, somebody rocking with him.
I guess in this moment, I did feel like Donnie was torn a little bit because he's like, look, man, my boy asked me for this. And then even the scene before all this goes down, you have that
morning scene with Tessa Thompson and she goes, why do I feel like you're actually considering it? You know what I mean? Like, it makes no, like, we all know this makes no, like, makes no sense. He asked you for a title shot, but it looks like you're considering it. Cause I do think he feels like he robbed this dude of 18 years, technically 16. So for me at that point, and then I think at that point, you're like, yo, he won't win. He got the title fight. At least I say I did that. Cause to me, watching that fight and watching, there was a scene that I fucking love. It's I love the way it was framed. It's like when we get to the match. Also, I love the Showtime, like, boxing that they always do. And I love every time they integrate it into the movies. Like, it just looks so cool. Like, the little boxing packages they do.
Yeah, we're suddenly inside. Inside that show. It's cool. Yeah,
I love it. But when we get to the match and you see, I can't remember the other fighter's name, but you see everybody in there. You see Michael B being like, yeah, man, go out there, handle business, blah, blah, blah. You see the mom in there. And you cut to Dame and he's just by himself. It's something that's so isolating, and it's something about having a chip on your shoulder, because like it feels like everyone let you down, you know what I mean? And it's something about trying to prove people wrong. Like I will personally admit, I had a meeting last week and I openly said in this meeting I have a chip on my shoulder because no one ever was nice about Hollywood. Like I was like, I never grew up with someone ever being encouraging about it in my entire life until I was like a full ass adult, and then people were nice about it. And like, so that I have it. So I'm looking at him being like, fuck everybody, I'm gonna prove everybody wrong. And I'm like, yeah, man. And then you see the shot of him, you see Michael B come in with that half-ass, like, yeah, man, how you feeling? Blah, 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 but you know it's fake as shit. And then he walks to leave, but the shot is of like Dame sitting down, or Dame gets up, and like Michael B is looking at the door, yeah. And it's like, you see a divide between the two of them, like one is in the light and one is in the darkness. I was like, and they do that a lot, which is very anime as well. Like Michael B wearing the all white and you know, all that bullshit. But I really like that shot. Cause to me, that's the relationship. You know what I mean? Until we get to the end and they're both sitting in the same amount of light in the same type of space without no wall in between. But anyway, love that shot.
That was cool. It was very cool.
Also, why Dame come out? Like, when he has his intro, my man just come out by himself, just, like, with some goony-ass music playing, and just...
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, it was clearly... It's like, that dude also trained in the gym.
He had two people with him, with the two guys who were in his corner.
Were they even behind him, though?
No, they weren't. They didn't come in behind him in the same way. Not in the same way. They were, like, in the ring. He, like, walked into the ring, and they were there the first time.
Man, that thing had me. I was like, yo, this boy.
They were booing him.
I mean, Michael B wasn't really clapping for him. I mean, Donnie wasn't really clapping for him. I will say that other box's intro was phenomenal, dude. Like, I mean, my God.
It was confusing, though, that they were booing him because they said that people loved an underdog story.
He black.
Well, people tune in for an underdog story. It was a little shady because he was like, he was just trying to get people to turn up. He wasn't saying that he didn't believe that people would necessarily root for him, you know, because this dude is the other dude is the champ. He like just is the champ. People have already galvanized around him, you know.
And let's call a spade, James. Dame is a black dude fresh out of prison. That's not a goddamn underdog story, okay? Not for America. This is not a political podcast, of course. But if that had been a white boy who was in... Listen, I can't let it go. That was a black dude literally from jail. From jail.
I mean, a bunch of white people would have turned up supporting that white dude, but...
100%.
Still would have got boos, though, from the people that were supporting the champ, though.
It would have been a boo. I'd have booed the white dude just out of principle. Just out of fucking principle.
Anyway, so he wins this fight, but he fights dirty. He's a dirty fighter.
He is clearly targeting his arm.
I haven't watched boxing. Is that? Can you do that?
Well, no way. And they kept looking at the ref like, ref, do something, and the ref wasn't doing anything. He was clearly targeting his shoulder and trying to dislocate it, like very clearly. Hitting it from several angles.
It was more like MMA style fighting. He also like hit him with the elbow, like in the face, like cut
which
his
was
face
wild.
Open.
Yes, and like kneed him or like or kicked him in the shin. It was like, what is this? This is boxing. What are you doing?
I mean, I've never seen someone get points taken away in a real fight. So I'm like, bruh, you dirty, dirty.
When he took off his mouth guard and his tooth was in,
gross. But you know what though? To me, that moment showed how bad he wanted it. Not the cheating, just the fact that this dude has clearly been taking hits. Because you could tell, I think the beauty of this scene was like, I think I spoke to Bray earlier, like off pod, we were commenting on how Dane would block. It was very like, not a real boxing block. It was kind of his arms were stacked, which is very weird. And like, he was just eating these hits. And I'm like, man, this dude tooth is out. And the only way to like, keep the pain going, he just shoves that shit, shoves the mouth guard. Oh my, the theater I was in was screaming when that tooth came out, man. Oh, and then when he won, And he looked at Michael B and he was like, I won. And Michael B didn't know what to do, whether to smile
Michael
or like.
Michael B ain't say shit.
Michael B was upset. Because he was like, you fought dirty. He was like, not like this.
My guy was bleeding out of his chest. Like blood was coming out. Like he's punctured something. I thought he was dead too. I was like, oh shit, he Rocky Ford him. Like I was like, this is, you got another fighter killed like your dad got killed. You did this.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. But also, this next scene, once his mom, when he goes home and the mom like shows him the photo, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. The moment Creed shows up at that beach.
The mom was messed up, by the way. The mom was messed up.
She was trying to protect him, man. She was like, she should have
said something
him
a long time ago. She could have said something a long. Second Dame showed up.
Yeah. Plus, he was in jail already. He's locked up.
Well, you know, he could have been like visiting him. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just like, as a mom who like saw this kid, she was trying to like quote unquote save from a rough life, you know, she could have did it, but I can't put the blame on her because he could have still looked for him. You know what I mean? Like that nigga literally
ran.
You know,
at the end of the day, Creed never looked out for his friend. That's supposed to be your homie. Cause in this scene, and I thought this was, I liked it. When he starts getting mad at his mom and defending his relationship with Dame, it was like, yeah, that's a side of Creed we never get to see. We never get to see this side of Creed now, and we haven't really in the first one. And so it was cool to see that side come out of him. But it was like, this, you know, you're playing a part now. Like that, now you're playing a part. What you're doing, you liked this life you've been living the last few years.
100%. He was super shady. Listen, when he showed up at that beach, like first off, he showed up in his goddamn fancy ass, like, what was it? Was it a Maserati or some shit? The Maserati truck? Or what? I don't know what the fuck. Bentley truck? I'm broke, so I don't know rich people shit. But I know it was a nice ass truck. Okay? When he showed up with that truck.
What was his plan here?
What, Bray, what was the idea? You were going to confront this man about what? Like, yeah, he had a master plan. You got.
He never really, first of all, it's like, but he never explained why he was mad even before this information. Like, he didn't even, like, he never, like, fully just said, like, hey, man, you fought dirty. Like, that wasn't cool. The guy won. He wasn't happy for his friend for winning. And then he shows up and he's like, oh, you've been, so you did get the letters I got, that I gave you, I sent you. But then this whole, like, I'm coming for everything. What is that? What did that mean?
Oh, come on, man. You know what he's coming for. He's coming. I thought it was like a Tessa Thompson reference, too, though.
I thought it was, too. And they kept kind of doing stuff like this. But they were never going to go there. And so because of that, they needed to just be a little bit more clear. But he just meant the title. He meant, I'm calling you out. I'm coming for you. Is all he meant, you know. Well, this is just where one of my other notes comes in, which is I don't like that we didn't see any of his other fights. We needed to see that dude fight some more.
I wanted to see him Mike Tyson everybody. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I did want
to
see
him. It makes no sense. We didn't get to see him fight before the title shot, and we don't get to see him fight after. It's like this dude has two of the biggest fights in history, and he never had any other fights? Come on.
Yeah, I wanted to see him run through dudes.
Yeah, well, he did, though. He did. By the time he fought Creed, he had a couple other...
Yeah, when they listed it, but we never saw him.
Did he?
He did, but we never saw him.
Wait.
Because, like, they announced his record.
But when they...
Like, they announced his record at one point.
I thought they showed his record and it was like 1-0.
No, it was like he had They definitely added it. They added on to it because he had like ended up having like 30 something fights, but like I think they included his
pre and after.
And he has three belts at the end. At the end, he has three belts. When he walks.
How does he have three belts?
Yeah, you don't remember? Like they are fighting at the end of the movie for three belts. When he won it, he only had two.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot happens we don't address.
I missed all of that.
Yeah. We don't see it, Bray. You didn't miss it. We don't see it. Like, we genuinely don't see it.
And it's frustrating because Stephen A. Smith is like, he's been calling you out everywhere. And it's like, it would have been great to see him have fights, like looking at the cameras, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, and then at the end of every fight, calling out Creed.
I'm a better champion than dumbass Donnie Creed. Like, just, I will say this, my favorite scene of this movie, hands down, favorite scene is when Creed takes his ass on Stephen A. Smith, and then this nigga Dame is watching with his girl laid on the couch. And this nigga just called, hey, give me the phone. And he calls in and he's just talking to the, he's like, don't do it like this. Nah, man, this live, we doing it now. I'm like, bruh, this is the wildest shit.
But also, I was like, when he was like, don't do it like this, I'm like, isn't this exactly why you came on First Take? Isn't that what you're about to do? Right? Like, why else are you on First Take?
Yeah, he ain't want no smoke back. That's what he did. He was like, he thought he was going to go on, say a bunch of shit, finally get his words in and then leave. But then it became another fight he wasn't ready for.
Bro, I could have sworn I saw some freaking graphic that said his record was 1-0. All right. Anyway,
I love though also when Stephen A. Smith was like, listen, you know how I feel about you. You know, you're the best fighter 3 years ago.
Was it three years? I thought they said it was like 2022 when he fought his last. I didn't understand time.
I didn't either.
Well, it's because they were like, what they did was when they got to majors like that, that when he finally arrives, they just call that present day. So in my mind, we jumped forward in time.
So we're watching a movie in the future.
Yeah, we're watching the future.
Set in, like 2025.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why, bro? Why?
It don't make sense. But you know what don't make sense either, Bray? They keep killing these famous black moms in these goddamn movies. Y'all listen. Y'all done got Angela Bassett. Y'all done took Felicia Rashad in these goddamn movies. That's enough. That is enough. I don't need to see another black mom die to push the story forward, goddamn it. We did it. It's over. Okay.
Actually, if Viola Davis plays a mom in the movie, this movie for her to die. It didn't really.
I agree.
Do anything.
It didn't do anything. It was unnecessary.
It happened so quick. Like, it happened. I can't remember what happened right before, but like some shit happened right before, and it was like, damn, Creed's in a lot of trouble. Oh, damn, his mom's dead. Like, it was like,
so, yo, wild shit.
That is so quick.
Wild shit. Man, you won't kill Felicia.
That's not one of my notes, but I did feel that when I watched
it. I stopped. Because you know what it was? Because in Black Panther, I was like, I understood it, but I also was like,
yeah, I hated it, but it was emotional at least. Yeah.
At least you're like, oh, I get why this is happening.
I get why it happened. Yeah. I was like, you could have figured out how not to do this, but like, I get it. In this movie, I'm like, you didn't have to kill Felicia Rashad. Like,
no,
you just
did
didn't.
Not do it
like
all.
You just didn't.
And like James said, it barely moved. It didn't really move
did
the
nothing.
Story. Much.
It didn't motivate him in any different way. I guess it made him. I guess it
broke his world down more, maybe?
I don't know. It just didn't feel that connected to it. But yeah, he gets back in shape.
Bruh, first off, why they make him look... My man, the whole movie, bruh. My man has had a fresh shape up, a fresh beard. All of a sudden, when it's time for him to train for his montage, this nigga look homeless? No, Mike. You look like Mike. Stop lying to me, bruh. Stop. No.
No, because they're just trying to show the passage of time and how he can't think about that other shit. He got to get ripped. That's all they got to worry about right now.
I just have to say, aren't very many times in movies where I'm looking at the male physique and going and just being like, oh my God. But this movie, I literally was like, these two dudes working out. And I was just like, this is the apex.
Oh,
crap. I was like, these two dudes' bodies are absolutely insane. Oh my God. When they were just showing his back, I'm just like, look at this dude's back. Look, like, I'm not even talking about the eight pack, whatever, that always looks nice. I'm like, look at the back. I'm like, my God, this guy's got muscles everywhere. Both of them. Jonathan Majors, I was looking, I'm like, my God.
When Jonathan Majors was going up the ropes, I was like,
nigga,
okay.
Nick, what?
He was going up the ropes.
My man, and then Jonathan he gets Majors, to the top. Abs on abs.
He does like four more.
Just four more, just, but I will say this, though. What is so interesting is that when you watch that montage, there's more actual boxing with Michael B. And I'm like, yo, Michael B. is like an actual boxer now. And like, you see him doing the moves and like, he does like a one-handed, like four quick punch. I'm like, God damn. And I'm like, I remember saying out loud, oh, Michael B. can actually box. How come they aren't showing Jonathan Majors? And the next scene is literally what y'all talking about, that two-handed like rope pull. I'm like, yo, bruh. First off, like,
power.
Like, this is my thing. My thing is like, I don't care. All right, everyone knows when you make movies, you got to do multiple takes, okay? Multiple takes. Even if he only had to do two takes, that means that man had to climb up this goddamn rope at Venice Beach, because that's where they filmed that scene, at Venice Beach, and then do 8 pull-ups with just the how strong of a human. And this ain't even Magazine Dreams. So my thing is, he big here. There's another movie coming out where he's bigger. You know what I'm saying? Like, he about to be bigger. Oh my God. Oh,
I just want to say I had the same thought about Michael B. being able to box too in this movie. But when in the moment when he first shows his daughter like some moves and he's like, just show me what you got. And he just very casually does a couple things. It was like, yeah, that's in your bone. Like, it's just in your, you know, he's doing that second nature. He's not even thinking about his physique. It would take the amount of brain power it would take me to have the hand-eye coordination to be like, oh, I'm a boxer who's now also showing my kid how to box. It's too many things are happening for me. So I thought that was cool.
Man, like that dude. I mean, and then by the time we actually, you know, I love this kind of training montage and like how he's getting beat up by Drago or whatever.
Yes. Oh my goodness. The number of times he got knocked down. It was too much.
But then all of a sudden he had to like, you know, the Hulk Hogan moment, the hero moment, he has this montage of his dreams of always standing up from getting knocked out. And I forgot how bad that knockout was in that first movie when he just... And I keep forgetting that in real life he got knocked out. You know what I mean? Which I'm like, oh yeah, that's why that fight looks so real, because he got dropped. I don't know if I could do it, y'all. Like, man, look. Stallone could come to me and say, I had to take a hit. And I'm like, I know what you're suggesting. I don't know if I can do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know you about to get... He said they were trying to get the hit and it didn't look right. And then I guess Stallone talked to Ryan Coogler and I guess got permission to walk up to Michael B. and was like, hey, I had to take a hit. I think you need to take this hit. And they got footage. There's footage of him, like the behind the scenes of him, like 1, 2. And like, you see it. Like, you see him get dropped, boy. That's why his hands don't... Like, if you look at...
Yeah, that's why he actually loses all... Like, he doesn't have control like over his
hands
body.
Don't stop him.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And when Jonathan gets dropped, Jonathan's hands come out. And I was like, yo, that's the difference between them hits, because that nigga got knocked out in that first move. Guys, the fight. We got to get to the fight. I mean...
This fight was great. I loved this fight.
I loved this fight. I will say one of my notes, this is my direct, this is my only directorial note. Why didn't they, and maybe, and actually this might, I need to see this again, but because maybe they did do it, but why didn't they show them touch gloves? Like that felt like that would have been such just a moment, just of close up touch gloves. Or like, of course we did their eyes because they did the same thing in an earlier fight or whatever. But like, you know, the touch gloves just feels like that's the movie, you know, that's the whole story. And we didn't see it.
I respected the choice of CGIing the audience out and having it just be them in some like ghost ring. I don't know if I loved it. I did like the time jump, but it was a lot. I just remember, I think I literally said out loud, "This is a lot," when I was watching it.
I loved it. Like, he punches him into bars, to prison bars. Like, all of this stuff was, I loved it. Them punching each other at the same time. Whoo! I loved all of this stuff.
I think the main reason I did like it is because we've seen so many boxing movies, and I'm like, there's only so many things you can do. So at least this felt like I'm trying something new. And like, I did like the double punch.
When it happened, it actually made me realize how much I liked the boxing that we were watching before. I was like, I really just like boxing movies and how they're shot. And and the switch up of it was like, oh, this is new. I don't like it. I really like just how they film boxing movies. And I could watch that for a really long time. I don't need it to be innovated, but I respected the choice. And then we get there, they make it around 12. And he gets knocked in the gut, in the stomach, goes down, loses his wind. It's hard to get up when you lose your
I thought he was not going to get up at one point and be like, you know what, I'm going to let him. I thought he was going to like.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I thought he was going to like not give it to him, be like, you know what, you need this more than me. But he was like, no, I'm fucking Creed, bruh. I'm getting up and I'm about to handle your ass real quick.
Before the fight, I thought he was going to. I thought the only way out was going to be to give it to him and then apologize. But then, I don't know, when they were counting and I got up to 9, I was like, if you don't get up. I was so mad he wasn't getting up.
My man Creed got up though, took my man and threw him in and started hitting him with the fucking 1-2 matrix punches and then hit him with a Kamehameha and shit. I was like, first off, nigga, what is this? Like, what is this?
There was a lot of that. It looked cool though. I was here for it. Diamond Dame was doing stuff like he did the block and then he'd be like, like he'd like come like punch down, like, you know what I mean?
Like punch down. I was down like, what? Like, what is this fight?
Like,
he'd
be like,
like, Bray, there's literally one point Dame has his arms crossed blocking like this, which is insane that no commentator talks about it. And then Michael B is punching up with the left below. And at one point, I promise you, bro, he just does it with both hands. And it just looks like he's doing this. And I'm like, yo, my man, this is literally...
Sneaks his hand through, gets him in the face.
I will say this. And Bray, you might feel this way. And James, maybe you was like, as a person who watches, you know, a good portion of anime, it was very cool to see two black dudes kind of in that world. And I feel like when I watch anime, the black guys are usually like, you know, a bad guy or a sidekick, and like, you know, sometimes they're like animation is a little off.
That's not very true.
You know, it's not the best how they treat us.
Not a lot of black people in anime.
You know, and then if it is, they're usually super dark skinned. But like, I mean, I don't want to name anime, but you know, sometimes you come off very like not good. So to see them,
yeah,
the anime knows who they are.
They got people with real big lit, like super dark skin and I'm real talking about big
like
lips.
Recently, yeah. Bro, like they still do that shit. Like they haven't stopped. Yeah. Like they haven't stopped. Yeah. So it was cool to see them in this kind of world, even though Piccolo black.
Yeah, Piccolo is black. Yeah. Piccolo is black.
This may be
a third writing note or it's like a second half of one I said earlier, but this is the only other problem I had, only other issue I had, is I really feel like this fight needed to bookend the first fights we saw with Dame and Creed in this. So like we needed to see a checkmate and we needed somebody to say it. And maybe even both of them thinking they have a checkmate at some point, and then but the other one is who has it.
It would have been nice, yeah, if somebody said checkmate and then lost. That would have been nice.
Yeah, because like it was just like you can't introduce, like I get why they introduced checkmate as an idea.
Did Dame not say it?
I don't remember him saying it. Not in this last fight.
Not last fight.
Got you.
And it was just like it really feel like they were setting that you don't. It felt like to introduce that in this movie, you know, that it's a thing that Creed does and that he got it from him, and then neither of them does it in their big fight. Like what? I just didn't get it. But that's it. All my notes are small.
It also could have ended in a decision.
I thought it was.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was.
Need to end in a knockout, but it did.
But then I guess you just had to let one of them win. You know what I mean? It had to be like. Yeah. You know, I guess somebody had to win.
Yeah, I mean, somebody would have won if they just ended the 12 rounds. I don't think it would have been a stalemate. But Creed wins. It's cool. And then he gets respect. And here's the thing. Oh, I was going to say the weird thing, though, is that they have this theme of like what we didn't really talk about is that this whole time, like Tessa Thompson is like, you need to talk to me more. And honestly, it's the most basic request. It's the simplest request. There's a point in which Creed does not come home. He comes home early in the morning, ignoring her phone calls. He has a black eye. She simply asks, what's going on? And he won't tell her. And I was like, I hope you don't think this is what therapy is. This is just called being a human being. Just being in a relationship, period. You can't just not disappear for a night, come back with a black eye, and then be like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, no. This is your partner. You need to say something. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, there's this whole thing of like, she's like, you need to open up and not everything can be solved by punching. But then in the end of the movie, he solves everything by punching. So, which I guess is the moral of the, yeah.
Well, I think it's so different because I also think it's tough because I have had friends in my life where like people fought it out and then once they were done, it was over. So I guess, but also my thing is like, once it ended, it took forever to me. It still took too long for me for Michael B. Jordan to apologize. And I wanted them to hug. I wanted to see them hug. And I know that's such a weird request. I wanted them either to hug in the gym or hug back in the locker room. Or I wanted Michael B. to invite him to like, I don't know, they had an after party. Like, bring him into the family. Like, it's done, bro. Like,
it ended with, you know where to find me? And I was like, what do you mean? That's your homie. Like, bro, like
you get why
like
this happened.
Like, y'all had the fight.
You did it. Like, bring him.
And also, in a weird way, like I didn't like that Dame said like none of it was your fault, because that actually literally isn't true. But it would have been nice if Dame was like, look, man, I know like I like kind of like cheated my way in a little bit, but at the end of the day, like you actually did give me like a shot. Like I got to fulfill my dream.
Yeah, something.
He got to fulfill his dream. He literally was like, I got to fulfill my dream, and you were a part of that. Thank you so much. You know,
it's
like,
so I don't true. Know,
like, it's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He does live. He does. When they sit down and they
dream.
Just apologize, you suddenly realize like no one was killed. Like at the beginning of the movie, you're like, somebody's going to die. Like this is going to be really, this is going to get really dark. But then by the end, you're like, oh, I guess they just boxed. Right. And so when that happens, it's like, yeah, you can be a little bit more sentimental with some of this stuff. Like you can lean into the fact that he lived his dream. You can invite him to hang out with you and your family and have it not be like whatever. Like you can do that because y'all fought it out. Y'all addressed it, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally done. It's done. Like, you know, then we get them the cute scene of them boxing in the, you know, in the room is like super cute.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was really sweet the way this ended.
I mean, they definitely set up like every spinoff in the world.
I can't wait for old Creed in like 20 years. When they do old Creed, that's going to be so fun.
Bro, it's so weird because in my mind, I'm like, they're probably going to give her a TV show, let her start boxing. We got to get a spinoff with Jonathan Majors to see what Dame doing. I'm like, they set up every movie after this. They're like, we got all the shit for y'all. Don't worry about it. Creed is here to stay, baby. you know, oh yeah, man, that was a good movie, man. You know, I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't got no complaints. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Freaking B plus, baby.
Bet on, don't do this. No. Bet on Black, baby.
James, you have anything else you would like to add to
I mean, I don't have anything really to add except,
great.
No. I did realize while I was watching this, though, that Creed 3 happens to be in the Hancock Cinematic Universe.
No, it's
did you guys
not.
Know?
And we're moving on.
Yeah, because you're watching the movie. Because maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't understand. Because while you're watching the movie, you know, there's a point in the movie when we see that there's like a giant poster of Creed on the wall. And that's actually one of the Hancock Infinity Stones. It's a doorway into time. You know,
James, my head hurts so much now.
Into time itself.
Because as you obviously
into the concept
into
of time.
Into time. Into time.
Well, all right, Bray, can you end this?
The picture obviously is an image from the past.
Bray, but can if you end this?
It's just because Jonathan Majors is in it.
Bray, can you end this?
And yes.
Why are you letting him keep going? Why?
And so, and as you realize that Jonathan Majors is actually, Dame is actually a variant of a Hancock variant.
He's a variant of Hancock.
He's a Hancock variant, yes.
Well, you know what? Hold on, wait. Because, wait, James? James.
Oh no, Gerard got excited about it.
Just so you know, if you think about it, if you're talking about the Hancock Infinity Stones, they're doing a sequel to I Am Legend with Michael B. Jordan as the lead, and he's playing the son of Will Smith's character, and then he's going to connect. So now you got 12 degrees of Hancock.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
It is time for the
wow, James. With you, bro. I'm with you.
Not based on how much we like them.
Yeah,
but
James,
whether or not
they
help the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we think a film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it's someone helped the
Come
cause,
on,
we give
I got
it a white
up the box and gloves already.
If it
no,
didn't
I'm talking
help
about
the cause at all,
I got up the gloves right. already. They up. Two right. black.
Well, on the count
fists.
Of three, I'm going to.
All right. Already up.
Mine's up. I got a black fist already.
All right. Well, I'm closing my eyes and I'm not ripping. Three.
Well, I got black fist up. I got
one.
A black fist.
Black fist.
Time out, Bray. Why'd your hand close into a fist?
I just wanted to trick you.
Bray, if you'd have gave this movie a black fist.
It's three black fists. It's three
I mean,
black fists.
I can't say anything greater about it. I think the movie is fantastic. I think it's an A. Okay. That's what I think it is.
It's an A. Certainly an
it's
A.
It's A, B plus, yeah.
I think it's an A. I think Michael B. did a good job directing. I think he did a really good job directing. I think Jonathan Majors shows up every time. So I'm here for it.
Bray said it's a Michael B. plus movie. I like this movie
That's
a lot.
So rude.
It obviously deserves Black Fist. You know, it's directed by a first-time director,
ratings.
Michael B. Jordan. Fantastic actor, fantastic actors in the movie. Written by black men?
Sure.
Is this Ryan Coogler's brother or something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
got
wait.
It.
Is it? It can't be.
Right? Keenan Coogler?
It's a Coogler. It is a Coogler.
Yes. It's his brother.
And Zach Baylin, though. Who is Zach Baylin? Is he black?
I don't know who that is, though. Nah, he white, though. Nah, Zach's white. I look at him up. He wrote King Richard.
So though. Young. That's so wild.
King Richard, Gran Turismo. Okay. Yeah, he's a good writer.
Hey, he wrote King Richard. Look at that. He's a good writer.
Look at this white man. Go ahead, white man. King Richard.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to need one of y'all niggas to get on and put me on. That's what I'm going to need to happen ASAP.
I just mean he didn't just show up and write King Richard. That's all.
Listen, I'm going to
tell
you right
been...
now, man.
Little.
I mean, fewer. That is still.
I mean, he came from the art department, so it's kind of.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying it's not like he just walked. It's not like he just walked in like, I'm going to write King Richard. You know, he was like, oh, I was in the art department. You know?
That don't make. Yeah.
Oh. He slid over from the art department real quick.
All right.
Ryan's brother wrote Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Yes.
Or one of the many writers.
One of y'all.
Oh, I guess these are.
James III to Jonathan Braylock needs to get on and put me on, okay?
I just lost a writing job. We can talk about that. I'm the opposite of on right now. I'm off. I got kicked off. I was on for a little bit. I was on for like 2 seconds and they were like, ah. Get this nigga out of
here. All right. <it's... laughs>
First, they was like, I was like, oh shit, I'm on. They were like, checkmate. And then I was like,
check. They said checkmate.
This is not funny.
It's kind of funny.
No, this is not funny.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. You can check us out at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We got links to merchandise. We got links to a Patreon that we have a year's worth of episodes for. We don't do any new episodes yet, but maybe we'll switch that up at some point.
Every now and again, Bray will say it like something is about to happen. The listeners
He's
will
building
be like,
suspense.
You never know.
He's
you
building suspense.
Know. You never know. Also, if you rate and review us and give us 5 stars on iTunes, we will read your review on the air. I don't believe I read this one. This is Stressed in SF. Oh, yeah. Just saw that this podcast that I love is featured this month. February 2023. So deserved. I love listening to these friends get into ridiculous and yet still deep arguments. The kind I love getting into with my friends. Since beginning to listen to this podcast a few years back, I have learned so much and definitely watch movies with a broader perspective now. Hoping for a tour, maybe. Would love to see this live. Also, you can follow me at John Braylock. And, you know, there are new episodes of Grownish out, and I wrote and produced for season 5. So, you know, you could check that out if you like.
Ooh. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. I have nothing to promote, but follow me and say hi.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, ruleofthreeinc.com. 3 is the number 3. I don't think anything else is going on because I don't have anything going on right now.
James may or may not be there, but we got a show March 28th that we're doing.
I'm not going to be there because I've retired from improvisational performance.
Hopefully, James will be there.
Why would you have retired?
Hopefully, he will be there.
I'm done, y'all. I'm done.
You're so good at it.
You have so much fun on stage.
Y'all need to stop.
What do you mean? You just did a show in February. It was great.
We got to get out of this. Let's get out of this. The show's over.
All right.
No, they care. The people want to see you perform, James.
No, they care. All right. March 28th. Check it out. We're going to be at the Silver Lake Lounge in Los Angeles, California, Tuesday at 8 p.m. That's Astronomy Club, or all the members of Astronomy Club that are in Los Angeles. All right.
Hopefully, James as well.
Stop doing this.
We'll see you and hopefully James next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleofthreeinc.com or follow me at ruleofthreeinc on IG for more details. Donate today!